fry it up in a pan. And never let you forget who I am, 'cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. 'Cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio and the Mompreneur Model Show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Word of Mom Radio. I'm your host here on the Mompreneur Model Show, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we're here week after week just breaking those myths that mompreneurs dabble in business in between, you know, fake sales and getting our nails done. We're smart businesswomen finding that balance between building a business and raising a family, and I am so excited to be sharing Liz Calloway today. For those of you who don't know her name, you know her name. You really, truly do, because I bet you can go to your shelves and pull out a bunch of videos and CDs that have her name all over it. She was the voice of the Swan Princess. She was the voice of Anastasia. She made her Broadway debut in Stephen Sondheim's Merrily We Roll Along. She received a Tony Award nomination for her performance in Baby. And for 5 years, she won critical acclaim as Grizabella in Cats. She sang the Academy Award-nominated song Journey to the Past in the animated feature Anastasia and was the singing voice of Princess Jasmine in Disney's Aladdin and the King of Thieves, The Return of Jafar. She also has 5 solo recordings out, Passage of Time, The Beat Goes On, The Story Goes On, Anywhere I Wander, and her new Christmas album, Merry and Bright. And I can just keep going and reading all kinds of stuff, but I just want to bring Liz in and welcome her to Word of Mom Radio. So, Liz, thanks so much for sharing with us today.
Oh, I'm happy to be on your show, and it's, you know, it's one of, to talk about one of my favorite subject matters, as a matter of fact.
And I love that. When we met, Liz and I did a show together. I stage managed a show that she performed in, and the producer introduced us, and she was like, wow, my favorite subject, talking mom.
Absolutely. And absolutely. Even though, you know, I've been really fortunate to have a great career, the credit I'm most proud of is, you know, being the mother of my son, Nicholas. In fact, through the years when I'd be doing Broadway shows, I used to always, my final line in my bio in the playbill would be, Liz and her husband Dan are the proud and tired parents of Nicholas, you know, two-year-old Nicholas, three-year-old Nicholas. And, you know, Nicholas is 23 now, and I'm still tired.
And an interesting story about his birth. Share that with us.
Well, this is a little unusual. I lived in Boston for 3 years, kind of in the late 80s. I was co-hosting a TV show for kids, actually, called Ready to Go on the CBS affiliate in Boston. And then my agent, I didn't really sing for 3 years. I was doing something kind of, you know, really different. It was like Good Morning America for kids. So I wasn't singing, and I'm really enjoying my job. And my agent calls and says that they were going to have, they wanted to see me for the Broadway company of Miss Saigon. It was a big hit in London. They were going to bring it to Broadway. And I was four months pregnant at the time, maybe 4.5 months. I was just starting to show. And I said to my agent, you know what? Don't tell them I'm pregnant and let me come to this audition just kind of for, you know, so someday maybe if they need a replacement, you know, they might be interested in me. I said, but if they know I'm pregnant, they won't see me. So let's keep that quiet. So I went to the audition and I sang a song from the show and I could tell they really liked it. And I remember saying to my husband afterwards, I said, you know, if I wasn't pregnant, I think I would have gotten the job. Well, it turns out they decided they wanted me, even though Nicholas was, or I didn't know it was Nicholas at the time, even though I was due to give birth about a month before the first preview, or really actually maybe a couple of weeks. And so I thought, okay, all right, I can do this. And I decided, okay, if they're okay with me doing this, and I had in my contract a 2-week maternity leave, and actually, as soon as I got the job, then my TV show happened to be canceled, so it was all meant to be, and we moved back to New York, and I started rehearsals. By this first day of rehearsals, I was like 8.5 months pregnant, or 8 months pregnant. And a couple weeks into rehearsal, my water broke. And, oh, see, I love that I can talk like details like this, because normally I don't talk details of my birth, yes, but I can in this show. My water broke one Saturday morning, and my doctor said, "Yeah, we want to come to the hospital, and you know, you're going to give birth." And I had some complications, and I actually had a C-section, and during the C-section, they accidentally cut my bladder. So I was in the hospital for 8 nights, and Nicholas actually was a little jaundiced, so it was almost okay that I had to be in the hospital longer. And then I had 1 week at home, and then, so that was my 2-week maternity leave. And Nicholas, he was 2.5 weeks early. So it was actually kind of good that he was early. But then my first day back after 2 weeks was the first tech rehearsal in the theater. My big song in act one was a duet with Leah Salonga called I Still Believe. And the set was like a room. And I walked, of course, very slowly, because I was walking very slowly after having a C-section. And my bedroom set to go up to it. It was like an upstairs unit. And I went backstage, and they showed me a ladder. And they said, "Well, here's your ladder to climb up to the set." And I was like, that is so cute. That's so funny that they're, like, making a joke about, oh, she just had a baby, C-section, here's your ladder. And they said, no, here's your ladder. So I climbed up really slowly. And I had to, every night, climb up very slowly and do my first song. It was crazy. My husband kind of gave up everything he was doing and stayed in my dressing room. My biggest concern was how I was going to nurse. I wasn't worried about how I was going to sing. I wasn't worried about anything except I read all these books and what to expect and all that stuff. I thought, how am I going to do the nursing? So, because we rehearsed 12 hours, we were there 12 hours a day by that point. And so my husband Dan would be in the dressing room, and then I'd be there, and then I would nurse Nicholas, and then I'd hear my cue, and I'd be like, gotta go, and then I'd go out on stage, and do my thing, and it was crazy. It was my equivalent of, climbing Mount Everest. So that was my experience of giving birth, and I immediately, went back to work, and I really did not stop working the first 8 years of Nicholas's life. I pretty much, between Miss Saigon and other things, and I had cats for 5 years. But I was incredibly lucky because, first of all, cats and Miss Saigon, I didn't have a huge amount of stage time, which was helpful. But I was able to get in my contract that I could have him in my dressing room. And that's, you can't always do that, so I was really lucky. Boy,
well,
that was long.
That
sorry.
Note, no, hey, talking mom, I can, believe me, I can talk mom all day long. It's a shame we only have 60 minutes, but on that note, I want to share stop time. I want to share, because I don't think there's a mom out there, get your hankies ready, because I don't think there's a mom out there who's going to hear this and not completely relate to this song. So I really want to share this, and then you can share who wrote it and everything afterwards, Liz.
Okay.
But oh, this is just a beautiful song.
Two months old, He looks up at me. How his smile melts my heart. I wanna say sometime, don't move on. Even as I watch, that look is gone. Then he's too such a little man, so alive and so smart. Again I say, stop time, stay just that way. But the future calls and he can't stay. Nobody warns you of this parent's paradox. You want your kid to change and grow, but when he does, another child you've just begun to know needs forever. Birthdays fly, 7, 8, 9, 10. Every kid he becomes, I clutch and say, stop time, hold this one fast. But it's not supposed to last, and that time has come and passed, for he's grown.
That is just such a beautiful, beautiful song.
It, you know, I haven't heard it in a long time, and it's just a perfect little gem of a song. It's it was written by David Shire and Richard Maltby, and it was from the Broadway musical Big, you know, based on the movie. And mm-hmm. I actually recorded that before the show opened. They had, I was working on this album. It's from my Story Goes On album. And I got together with them. They wrote the show Baby, which I did. And I said, do you have any songs? And they played me that. And I think I recorded that. I'm trying to think of how old Nicholas was when I recorded that. He was probably, I don't know, 5, maybe? Somewhere around 5. And so it's just this, you know, such a great song to sing. And then I sang it in concert, and then, you know, and then I, you know, sang it in concert when he was 7, and then he was 8 and 9, and then it goes up to 8, 9, 10. And then I remember I talked to Richard Maltby, the lyricist, and I said, because we have, he had a son and a daughter around the same age as Nicholas. And I said, you know, Nicholas is now, he's past 10. And I think he was maybe 12, and I said, Richard, I'm past that part now. I said, could you write a new song, you know, because now Nicholas is 12 or whatever. And he said, I don't care to write a song about the next age. So, which of course could be more trying, but it makes me very happy to hear that song again, because it's just beautiful, and I think I think every parent has felt that.
Believe me, I mean, I have my kids now are 26, 24, and 22, and my 24-year-old just bought a house, got engaged, and is getting married in July. My
22-year-old
daughter, yeah, my daughter is actually halfway through college and decided to take a break and flew out to Nevada and has backpacked across with her boyfriend to Colorado. They're there for a couple of weeks. They'll be backpacking back to California, working on a ranch, and then backpacking across Europe before she comes home for her birthday and her brother's wedding. And she's like, Mom, I want to be a therapist. What kind of a therapist am I going to be if I don't follow my own dreams first?
Oh, smart.
She's amazing and probably the coolest person I know. And even though, you know, regardless of the fact that she's my daughter, even if I had just met her, I'd be like, wow, it's like the coolest person I've ever met. And so, you know, my oldest son is working and getting ready to move to Virginia soon. And I look at them and that stop time, I can close my eyes and they're babies. I can close my eyes. I used to camp out in their one of the bedrooms. I would make a little fort, and they'd put their sleeping bags, and then I would go in, and they'd all be spooned together. My daughter'd be in the middle with one brother spooned on either side of her, and I would laugh because they'd all start out on their own sleeping bags, but they'd migrate in and just all be cuddled up, and I used to just sit there, and I can close my eyes and see the picture.
Wow.
And it does. It just goes way too fast.
It goes really fast. But as my mom tells me, it's like you never stop being a mom, no matter what, you know.
Right.
They're grown. My mom still is, you know, I'm still her little girl, even if, you know, it doesn't matter how old we are. And
no.
I can understand that, too. I can understand that no matter what, you still have that incredible connection. And you still always, even if they're on their own, and you still have to be, the job of being a mother or being a parent never ends. It just changes.
It's true. That's exactly right. It evolves. You know, when Robbie and Nell bought their house, they were so cute, and they were like, Mom, you should come move in with us. And I was like, oh, thanks, no. And Nell was like, but you're going to move in when we have kids, right? Rob promised. And I was like, oh, of course I'm going to help. She's like, no, you're going to move in when we have kids. Rob promised.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And I was like,
now, that's funny
are you
she
kidding?
Said that because there's a lot of people who would not want their mother-in-law to live with them.
Well, you know what? She is just, I couldn't ask for a better soon-to-be daughter. And when they got engaged, it was so cute. We were on the phone, and I said to her, I was like, you know, I don't want to push you or anything, but, you know, you can always call me Mom. She's like, okay, Mom, yay. You
know? Oh, wow.
Just, I know. God. And I'm very, very lucky that my kids, the you know, their significant others, their better, their other half, you know, my daughter with Matt, I adore him. Although I did let him know that, you know, if he hurt my daughter in any way, I would chop him up in little bits and mail him back to his family piece by piece.
Well, as you well should. It goes without saying.
And you know what? It was so funny because he and his mom, we were all out to lunch together, and Lisa was like, I'd chop you up in bits and mail you back to her if you hurt Courtney. Because she adores my daughter. But it is. It's just, it's a wonderful thing to see them grow and be these amazing people. How old is Nicholas now?
So Nicholas is now 23. He graduated college a year ago. And it's interesting because he went to a wonderful college in Ohio, Kenyon College, fabulous school. He had a wonderful experience. And he went there because of originally because of the writing program. He was interested in writing. And then he got to school and kind of changed once he got there and became a double major of political science and music. And he discovered music really at a later age. He's a beautiful singer, and we didn't know he could sing really until his senior year of high school. And he was cast as Emile Debeck in South Pacific. And we like went to see the show, and he starts singing Some Enchanted Evening. We're like, oh. And I understand that because it made sense to me because I was incredibly shy about singing when I was a kid. I wouldn't sing in front of anyone unless if everyone left the house, then I would sing. Total closet singer. And didn't really start doing theater until I was in high school. So appreciated the fact that, you know, he didn't really sing and express himself like that until later. But, you know, in college he became really active in a cappella singing and arranging. He kind of taught himself, and used to go to, I flew to Ohio every chance I could to, you know, I missed very few concerts. In fact, I kept telling my agent, I want to work, get me concerts in Ohio. You know, a lot of people, they want to perform in LA, they want to perform wherever. Like, I was looking for work in Ohio. So I could visit him. And so he graduated, when he was graduating college, he was trying to decide whether to pursue a career in music, or he was also very interested in being a sports agent, do something in sports. He's very, very bright. And my dad was a television journalist, and Nicholas reminds me of my dad a lot, but he is, you know, very bright, and he did any number of things he could do. But he was trying to kind of decide whether to follow his passion, or he also loves sports and is very knowledgeable, or go the more, not that being a sports agent or trying to pursue that, because I think trying to get a job at all in any field is really hard now. Mm-hmm. But I said, you know, either is valid, you know. Choose one, you can always change your mind. And so he decided to pursue music. And it makes me very happy to see him pursuing his passion. But it's tough. There's a side of me that goes, oh, and good luck to you. So yeah. he moved, he lived at home first, and then he moved, he was living in Brooklyn this summer. Sublet, first time really on his own in an apartment and all that, became an excellent scrambled eggs cook. Which doesn't sound like much, but if you know my son, it's like, oh, that's very good, because I've been trying to, you know, encourage him to cook for years. And then his sublet ended, and he realized how expensive it is to live in New York. So he actually now moved back home. So he's doing what most kids, you know, that we know, and a lot of kids that he went to school with, he's back saving his money so he can go back, you know, and hopefully the next move will be the permanent one. But so that's very interesting. And it's great. I mean, he doesn't want to be home, and I don't want him to be home because I want him to be, you know, obviously on his own. But I adore his company, and we're so close. But that's really interesting to me. You know, when I thought about being a parent, I just thought about, like, I don't think I ever even visualized being a parent beyond age, like, 2. You know, cute baby clothes and little kids. I never thought about, you know, what it was going to be like to be a parent through all the years. And I found every stage I loved. Every stage was different. Nicholas never had like a nightmare period of time. It's like, oh my God, who is this monster? You know, he's always been a really great kid. But now it's challenging this, you know, it was challenging. The empty nest part was like devastating to Dan and me. But now this next part, when he's back, is equally challenging. You know, there's no what to expect when they graduate college and they come back book. Although I think somebody should write that, you know. Another thing I found very interesting in the journey of being a mother was when Nicholas left for school, and it was the first few months we were just like, both Dan and I were devastated, because we're really close, the three of us. And then I remember we drove him to school, we drove back, and we're like crying, and I go into his empty room, and it's like, okay, he's not dead, he's in college. He's not dead, he's in college. Then a couple of months into this, we live about an hour north of Manhattan. We were in the city one day, and then we went, oh, wait, we don't have to rush back. Wait, this is great. Yeah. And then we just loved being the two of us again. then it was it was just wonderful. And we were married about 5 years before we had Nicholas. So we had, you know, which I think was nice to have that amount of time as a couple. But then it was like just great to be a couple again. And then he'd come home from school. I'd be like, oh, what are you doing here? And but the one thing I find interesting about now that he's graduated, and maybe this will pertain to some of your listeners because of I like the title of your show. When Nicholas finished college, and I realized he's like, you know, at the beginning of his life, his career, which I think is so exciting. You know, he has so many possibilities. And he has actually really inspired me to be more, I've never been an incredibly ambitious person. I've been incredibly lucky in my career, and I've worked a ton. But I've always thought of myself as a parent first. And then, plus I had my work that I loved. But then I seeing all these things that he could do, you know, all these possibilities for him. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Maybe there's stuff for me to try that I've never done too. So I've been incredibly inspired by him and what he's doing to start his career. And the biggest thing I did about a year ago is I produced my own Christmas album. And even though I'd recorded a lot, I had never produced anything. And so that was an incredible experience, and I've now become very entrepreneurial, and I feel like I really love business, and I want to do more things. Where I think I tell Nicholas, you're starting out, you have to create your own work. You have to create your own luck, and you can't wait for things to come to you. And it's like, oh, that's true for me too. And so it's an exciting time for him, but I also find I'm more excited about my work and different things that I might try to do than I have been since before I had kids or a kid. I just have one.
It's amazing the transition when your kids grow. You know, when my kids left, I moved. I put my stuff in storage and I went on the road. For quite a while, for a couple of years with the show and just helping friends and stuff. And my kids were like, what do you mean you're leaving?
Oh.
And I was like,
hey. They didn't have the, oh, we're going to go home. So I can see they'd be a little taken aback.
Yeah, you know, and it was funny. I was like, hey, I didn't have you to keep you. You know, I'm a phone call away. You need me? I'm in the car. And, you know, my oldest son had, you know, had some problems going on with work and whatnot. And I came home, I moved into his house. But then I had to leave. And it was like, you know what, you've got to sink or swim on your own. I can't, you're a grown man now. You have to take care of yourself. You can't just have me there to do this all for you because it's your life now.
Yeah, that's hard.
Not
I find that
yeah,
I find that
it
hard, but you have to. I mean, it's you're doing your child a disservice if you don't. Although that does not come easy, and I think I know I definitely been too hands on at times, without a doubt. Just and of course when I was growing up, it was a completely different, you know. My parents had absolutely nothing to do with my college applications and I'm from Chicago. I used to go to New York by myself for the weekend when I was 16. And my parents let me. I was a really trustworthy, independent kid, but still, and it's a different, you know, I would never have been comfortable doing that with my son, you know, even just going into the city. I was much more hands-on, much more nervous parent, as I think most parents are today.
It's so funny. It just made me think of my daughter this one time. She and her girlfriends were going to a concert in the city on the west side, you know, the concert arena that's on the west side, off the west side highway.
Mm-hmm.
And her girlfriend showed up in these outfits I'm like, are you going to a costume party? I mean, what the heck are you wearing? And did your mother see this? And my daughter's like, don't worry, Mom, I'm there. I'll take care of them. I'm like, are you sure? You know, because I have my kids in the city all the time with me and stuff. And my daughter's 5'11". She looks like a runway model. You know, and it's amazing because as slender and everything as she is, I would feel really bad for any guy who tried to give her a hard time. For
good
her 18th
girl.
Birthday, she asked us, oh, yeah, she asked us for a kickboxing thing. So her dad and I, because, you know, I mean, I got divorced. My kids were 6, 4, and 2, but her dad and I are the best of friends. We just didn't work married. So we got her this kickboxing thing. She snapped it in half. Kicking it.
How old was she?
18.
Ah.
Kick thing and snapped it in half. I'm like, yeah, baby. That's mommy's girl.
If I had a daughter, I would teach her that as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, forget it. My sons are like, nothing to worry about with Courtney. And you know what? She doesn't really drink. She doesn't do drugs. She's just a very level-headed. Like I said, she's probably the coolest person I've ever met. She's so incredibly well-rounded. And I just look at her and I'm like, you know, as a parent, you look back and it's like, wow, I don't know what I did right, but I'm so glad. You know, and especially a daughter. Because, as you know, let's face it, as women, it's difficult to teach you the rules and everything else but not break that spirit because it is still a man's world. And so as a woman, you know, we have to have that something behind us. You know, you've had an amazing career, and fortunately for you, it's been a steady one, but it's been on your terms.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely one of the lucky ones. And particularly lucky now, as you know, as you get, when you turn 50 and your theater possibilities dwindle, you know, just as an age thing. And it's you know, I'm one of the lucky ones. I also think in some ways, and my husband is a director, and I think in some ways, Nicholas is lucky that he's grown up in an environment where, with very little security, really, you know, in terms of job security, and he's very aware of, even though I've had a tremendous luck in my career, you know, the highs are very high, the lows are very low, and there's always uncertainty, except, you know, maybe when I was doing Cats, that was really the only kind of period of my life in this business that you could say that you really had security. If I got a mortgage because I was in Cats, because it was, they thought, well, that would be, you know, of course her show's going to keep running. You know, I really honestly don't know if I, you know, I ever would have been able to get a mortgage if I hadn't done Cats. You know, because it's tough. It's a very tough, you know, there's so much uncertainty in life, but I think that's a good lesson, you know. I think if you don't realize that, because eventually you're going to struggle, and so you have to, you know, if everything's just great and you don't have any struggle, when the time comes, it's going to be a lot harder to handle. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I can't even tell you what a perfect segue that is to our station break. For those of you listening, we're here on Word of Mom Radio, and I want to say hello to today's show sponsor, Dr. Christina Hibbert, who is the author of This Is How We Grow, a psychologist's memoir of loss, motherhood, and discovering self-worth and joy one season at a time. It is an Amazon number one best-selling book about her life as a mom, when her sister and brother-in-law died within a few months of each other and just a few weeks short of giving birth to her fourth child, inherited her sister's two sons.
Oof.
And the journey that they went through and that she went through, and it's just an absolutely fabulous book filled with highs, lows, ups, downs. I absolutely love it. I share it out with friends all the time. So she's our sponsor today, and I'm serious, Liz, you couldn't have scripted that better.
Wow.
Moving to that sponsor today, you know, and you can meet
that
all our
like
mompreneur
a great
sponsors.
Book.
It's a fabulous book. This is How We Grow, and I, you know, it's right on Amazon, and it's absolutely fabulous. And her website is Dr. Christina Hibbert with a C-H. And I suggest, I'm serious, and it's a wonderful read. It's one of those books, I picked the book up, I was interviewing her, and I read all of the books of the women that I interview, and, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, I picked that book, I couldn't put it down. Read that book in one day, could not put it down, and couldn't wait to reread it, you know? So it's a fabulous book, and it's really inspirational. Her story's really wonderful. And speaking of stories, I want to share your Christmas album coming up. I know it's a little early for Christmas, but it's kind of exciting because the song we're going to share is you and your son, Nicholas.
Well, you know, as I said, Nicholas did a cappella, you know, work in college, and I would go to his concerts, and I was, and I just, it looked like so much fun, and I never did any a cappella singing. That wasn't really, that really wasn't in style when I was in high school, and I only went to college for a couple of months, so I never had that opportunity, and I just thought, God, it was so fun, and he did these amazing arrangements. So when I decided that I was going to produce my own Christmas album, I said, Nicholas, I want to do an a cappella song, and how would you how about you do an arrangement for me? And you and I will sing all the voices. We'll do all the voices. And so we worked together. It was so fun to collaborate with him on something and be in the studio and have him be in charge. You know, he knew all the parts because he wrote all the parts, but then he would coach me on how to sing it. So it was so nice to have a reversed situation where I was no longer the parent or the one in charge or the expert. It was his song, his arrangement, and he was showing me how to do it. And it was, you know, it turned out great. I'm really, it's one of my favorite tracks on the album. It's a little, it's an unusual arrangement, but I'm really proud of it. And as a result of this, this Christmas album actually came out right before last Christmas. I did it in the nick of time, and because I didn't know what I was doing, and it took me a lot longer than I thought. And someone heard it and loved his arrangements so much, he's been doing a bunch of a cappella arrangements for a group in New England. So this is part of how he's making a living now in the music business. And so, anyway, it's an interesting arrangement of Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Oh, well, good for now. I have, like, this huge smile on my face hearing this story. I love it. Okay, well, I can't wait for you guys to hear this. So this is Liz and Nicholas on Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Santa, he's coming to town.
Challenging song to sing. I mean, it's the harmonies and everything, but it was so fun to do, and it just makes me smile because it really kind of is, you know, twisted, and it's very much our sense of humor.
But it's really a fun. I was just sitting here, I was just bopping along, and you know, just smiling because how much fun for you. I'm just thinking as a mom, how fun it had to be for you to do this with your son and to have it on your album and to, you know, make him part of, you know, what you're doing and vice versa. And how cool.
It was really, really special. And I hope, you know, to do more work with him because it's, you know, I love the idea of working more together. I did a concert in Chicago last year, and he was my special guest, and that was really fun. He came and did a few songs with me, and my dad, who passed away 5 years ago, had a show in Chicago called Chicago Tonight. And John Calloway was kind of like the Charlie Rose of Chicago, and mm-hmm. the people from his show invited us to come on, and so Phil Ponce, who replaced my dad as the host of this show, interviewed Nicholas and me, and we did a song together on it. And Nicholas had never been on TV, and he had never sung on television. It was the night before our concert, and the fact that he was on my dad's show was so amazing, and he was great. He was so poised, and you know, I was so nervous for him. I thought, oh God, how is he going to react under pressure? Because you never know how people mm-hmm. react. And he was, I couldn't have been prouder and impressed by how he handled himself and how well he works under pressure. I think it actually brings out the best in him. So it's so interesting to see, who they become, you know. It's like you were saying with your kids. It's like you do your job, and then, you know, you hope for the best, and then you go, wow, I must have done something right because, you know, they're you know, really great young people.
Well, you know, we give them wings. They have to fly on their own.
Yeah, yeah. You know, some of the best advice that I remember that when Nicholas was young, someone said, you know, how you have to fit your child into your life. And, you know, and that's certainly what we did. You know, I've had such crazy hours, crazy experiences, and, you know, I've traveled all over the place and I did make the decision. It's like, all right, this is my crazy life, and you're going to just be a part of it, and we'll figure it out as we go. I've had some great experiences with him, you know, just the two of us. When he was in fifth grade, I got a gig in Beijing, and I took him out of school for a week, and my husband couldn't come, so it was just the two of us, and that was another great experience of just getting to share something together where we were both equally clueless. You know, I wasn't, again, I wasn't like the woman in the mom in charge, because I didn't know, you know, I didn't know any Chinese. Nichols, of course, picked up the language much easier than I did. But that was, you know, we've had some really great adventures together. So, and I hope that we can, you know, continue collaborating together, because that's just cool, you know, to get to, you know, to get to experience something where you're equals, you know, is nice. It's very special.
It has to be. And I just, as a mom, I have like the biggest smile thinking about how wonderful that is for you. Please let everybody know how they can find your CDs, how they can get copies of your music, and what upcoming things you have where we can come and see you live.
Well, let's see. Well, Marian Bright, and you can get Amazon.com or CD Baby, or you can get on iTunes or Spotify, as with all my CDs. If you like Stop Time, that I sang, you know, that actually, you're going to have to, at this point, go, and I think that CD's in the process of being reprinted, so that you'll have to go to iTunes for. I travel all over the world, all over the country, so I'm going to San Francisco tomorrow to sing with Stephen Schwartz. I'm going to be in North Carolina, Florida, Michigan, and actually for those in New York, I'm going to be in this wonderful club called 54 Below, and I'm going to be there Christmas week. It's not even announced to the public yet, so I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, but I'll be there December 22nd through the 27th. And it's going to be a holiday program plus non-holiday songs. And I'm hoping to sing something with Nicholas. We're talking about doing, we might sing O Holy Night together or something. And my sister, Ann Hampton Calloway, a fabulous singer-songwriter, she and I perform together a lot. And she also does a duet with me on my Christmas album. I'm hoping she's going to be a special guest at my show at 54 Below also. I'm kind of all over the place. This year I've been in London, Denmark, Tahiti, Australia, Detroit, you know, everywhere.
Australia, Detroit.
Tiffin, Ohio. I have a concert. I have a symphony concert coming up in Newark, Ohio, in next month, and so I'm kind of all over the place. So for your listeners around the country, I have a website, LizCalloway.com, and you can follow my schedule there, and hopefully come to one of my shows, and you know, bring your kids.
And I really encourage you to go hear Liz live, and it's C A L L A W A Y,
correct?
So LIZ, LizCalloway.com, and I really do, because you will absolutely love. You know, when I got to, we did. Liz was part of Footsteps of Mandela a couple of months back, and she had sang "Where Have All the Flowers Gone?" And it's really one of my favorite songs, and your version of it was so simple and so pure, and it was just probably one of my favorite moments of the show.
Oh, thank
quite
you.
Quite honestly.
I love,
no,
you know,
honest,
I,
yeah.
I that's actually, that's on an album I did called The Beat Goes On, that's all 60s pop music, and I love that song, I love that arrangement, and the thing is, it's just, it's timeless. You know, you think, okay, it's unfortunately such a timeless song, and
yeah.
With everything going on in the world, and it was the perfect song to sing at the Mandela tribute concert. It was the perfect song.
It truly was, and, you know, I have it, but I actually, believe it or not, we're getting ready. I mean, we have less than 10 minutes left of the show, and I'm going to close out the show today with a song called The Story Goes On from Baby. And I would love for you to set that song up for us.
Well, this is Baby, which was my first big role on Broadway. And I played, the character was Lizzie, a college student. And during the course of the show, I went through 9 months of pregnancy. And The Story Goes On actually closed the first act, and it was the moment when Lizzie felt her baby kick for the first time, and she tried to call her boyfriend to tell him, and she couldn't reach him, and then she tried, you know, to call her mom to tell her, and her mom wasn't home, so at that moment, she realizes she's going to experience this all by herself.
You know, for those of you who don't know that show, it is such a beautiful show. And it's the story of these three different couples. You know, one, these college students in an unexpected pregnancy, an older couple and a later in life pregnancy, and then a middle couple who are trying to get pregnant and find out they can't. And it is just such a great, I love that show. And I actually was lucky enough to see you in it.
It was an amazing role, incredible show, beautiful, beautiful music, so many great songs in it, and you know, it was unheard of to have a Broadway musical with a subject about three couples and having a baby, and it was, or not having a baby, and it's so interesting. Mm-hmm. It was a great gift to get to do that show.
And, you know, let's face it, we all know people, you know, in my journey in life, before I had my own kids, I actually coached in the delivery room 4 times.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, one was for a friend whose husband was just like, I can't buy a ticket to that dance. One was for a friend that had to give her baby up, and I was the only one that got to see her and sat there singing to her and telling her how much her mommy loved her and loved her enough to give her away, and then actually she wound up getting her back, and her daughter is now 30.
Wow.
And a nuclear engineer.
Oh,
and yeah, and we had lost track of each other for years and years and years and years and ran into each other on Facebook, finally reconnected, and she was like, you know, it's because of you I have my daughter. You're the one who told me I could do this. Everybody else told me I couldn't, because she was only 17. And she now runs like one of the largest construction companies in the state of Arkansas.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, well, good thing she turned out okay. Imagine if she hadn't, she would have been like, you witch, I gave her up and you made me take her back.
Yeah, it's your fault. No.
But,
last thing about Story Goes On that is so interesting is, you know, I gave you the setup for the song, how it was in the show, but I still sing it in concert today. And because it means, it can mean, I've sung it at breast cancer benefits. Mm-hmm. It can mean a lot of things. And I think for anyone who's a mother, it has great meaning. And to fathers as well, but it's an amazing song on so many levels. So it's and also the story goes on even for me, thinking about, you know, my son now, you know, mm-hmm. you know, embarking on a career in music, you know, which is amazing to me too. And so it's a song that has so much meaning on so many levels.
It really, truly does. And Liz, I thank you so much for coming and sharing with me today on Word of Mom Radio. I hope you will come back again. Maybe
absolutely.
With Nicholas.
Absolutely. It's great to talk to you, and let's do it again.
I would absolutely love it. And for those of you tuning in, thank you so much. We'll be back on Tuesday with Managing Mompreneur Mayhem, and Sina is going to be talking about self-care. And then Kaz will be here on Wednesday on The Sneaky Mom, talking about how, you know, kids learn the best when they think they're playing. And on Thursday, I'll have the last of the eThink Tank for Mom conference speakers. So it's a jam-packed week, and I just thank Liz Calloway for being here, and I'm going to play off with The Story Goes On. Listen to this song and really hear the words. It's absolutely beautiful. So everybody take care and make a marvelous you.
No ending, and here.